listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder Newspapers. Natalia, Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
This week, UMass Amherst sequestered students after a spike of COVID-19 cases at the start of the spring semester. Students aren't supposed to leave their on- or off-campus housing except to get meals or go to medical appointments. As of this morning, there are more than 600 active cases there. UMass spokesman Ed Blagojevski says many students have been following coronavirus-related protocols, but some haven't.
We have taken action and sent a number of students into our student disciplinary process after determining through evidence that violations had occurred. And as needed, we will continue to do that.
There's about 5,500 students living on campus at UMass and more than that off campus. Natalia, given what we know about the coronavirus, was bringing students back to UMass a wise choice in the first place? I mean, could this all have been prevented?
Well, that's a complicated question because there's an economy tied to that question. So I can understand where the university wants to bring students back, but in a way it set a trap for them. Because when you're that age, 18, 19, 20, you think you're immortal. And then to tell these young people, don't congregate, don't do this, don't do that. And then when they do that and COVID begins to spread and now you're going to discipline them, it just seems, what were you expecting from these 18, 19-year-olds? Their brains are still developing.
Mike, what about this idea that most UMass students are prevented from going to their jobs and also have been told not to go out and take a walk to get some fresh air? How do you balance all of this?
Well, in terms of the fresh air one, I really don't understand that. I mean, everyone who works has been affected by this pandemic. Everybody, because either you have a job, like if you're working at a grocery store, you could be putting yourself in risk, or you have a job where your boss says you must do most of it at home, remotely. I mean, the employment situation in the United States, everybody has been affected. And it doesn't surprise me that it's going to come down to college students who may be working a part-time job. I'm not quite sure I understand about the prohibition about walking outside, since we've all been told that the outside activities, if you're masked and socially distanced, are a lot safer than doing something inside a building. So I'm not sure I quite understand that one. But everyone's job has been affected by this.
Meanwhile, this week, a mass vaccination site in Springfield is now getting help from the Massachusetts National Guard after earlier this week, seniors had to wait for long periods of time outside in cold conditions to get their shot. Things seemed to be improving as the week went along, however. On Wednesday, Joyce Jutkis of Westfield came prepared with snacks, expecting a long wait, but that wasn't the case.
My appointment was at 10. I walked right in. And one of the young ladies there said to me, I said, I have my sister and sister-in-law waiting in the car. She said, go out and get them. It was incredible.
The situation got the attention of state lawmakers and Springfield Mayor Dominic Sarno, who sent in the police to check on things. Mike, state officials seem to have found a solution, but is this one they could have arrived at before the site even opened?
Well, I wrote my editorial this week about all of these issues with the vaccination system being so inadequate. And my question to the state officials is, we've known we're going to get a vaccine now for months. We know it's coming. So why wasn't an infrastructure set up in advance instead of what we've seen, which is, oh, we're going to have a state-run vaccination site here, and we're going to farm some out to businesses such as the Big Y and CVS and Walgreens. But they don't do it in one rollout. They don't have like one easy way for people to schedule an appointment. And I really think that we had a major failure here because this is not something that just popped up. We knew this was coming. And I think the Baker administration did not do an adequate job in making sure you have vaccine equity. Because right now, if you live in Pittsfield, where are you going to go? If you live in Greenfield or Northampton, you're 75 years old, you could get it. You have to go to Eastfield Mall. And that, I don't think, is fair to any of us.
Natalia, what about the job Governor Baker has done with this vaccine rollout? He's been taking a lot of heat lately over this.
I think it's really hard to emerge from this crisis in a way that you would say, oh, the governor has been doing an outstanding job. First of all, he was dealing with the federal government when it was under former President Trump. that was very chaotic. And then now, you know, they are all learning from their mistakes. And he's trying. I mean, I give him credit for trying. Now the MassGov site, if you go there, you can find a website that will take you to another website. It's a COVID-19 vaccine website where you can find appointments. And it'll tell you how many slots are available and at what time, and then you sign up for that.
Also this week, debate continued over how big the new Holyoke Soldiers Home should be. Many lawmakers and veterans advocates are pushing for a larger facility than was first proposed, and Governor Charlie Baker is filing a $400 million bond bill to help fund it. Mike, you wrote about this week and said there should be no question about the size of the new facility. Please tell us more.
I just don't understand why people are believing that the need for quality medical care for veterans somehow is decreasing. You know, there are so many veterans who are on the waiting list for the Soldiers Home who never make it. I think that the statistic was something like 40% of the people waiting on the list die before they ever get into the facility. So if we have the money and the space and the political willpower to put something together that is much more adequate in terms of the number of beds that it has, we should be doing that. We don't know what the future is going to bring. We don't know how many veterans from the Middle East wars that are currently the newest veterans. We don't know what their health issues are going to be like. We don't know what their economic needs are going to be like. So I think we're going to be shortchanging the future if we don't do everything that we can do.
Natalia, what do you think about this?
I agree with Mike. Unfortunately, almost 80 people had to die before the state government looked at what was going on here in Holyoke. And from those deaths, the state government needs to learn. We got to do much better. And like Mike says, we don't know what the issues, the health issues are going to be like in the future.
All right. Natalia Munoz, host of Viacom Munoz on WHMP, and Mike Dobbs of The Reminder, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. You can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.